Lord, we just thank you so much for all you're doing in and through this house. And we pray tonight, Lord, we don't want to hear my words, my thoughts, or my opinions. We just want to hear your truth. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. It's in Jesus' name, everybody said. Amen. We are continuing in our study of Colossians. I'm feeling good tonight. I'm preaching in flip-flops. I haven't done that in a long time. And I'm just probably going to start doing that because I just feel so much more comfortable. I may preach for 3 hours tonight. I don't know. We've been in this series in Colossians. We've been in it for 13 weeks. And even though it's only a 4-chapter book, but tonight, if you're taking notes, we're in week 14. And tonight's title is Kingdom Submission. Kingdom Submission. Some of y'all are excited about this one, huh? You just don't know. It's kind of interesting because tonight we're going into a part of Colossians where it's talking about the order of husband and wives and children. And I know everyone knows this and you're going to get tired of it, but it's so cool being able to teach about children now that I have a daughter. And my wife said, you're going to use Eliana in a illustration tonight? I said, no, I won't mention her. Well, she was right because I just mentioned her. But let me tell you, as much as I love my daughter, it gives me a new perspective of how much the Father loves me. There's nothing like it. And we get to be on the receiving end of that from our Heavenly Father. I heard a preacher today talking about this, and he said, you know, it's one thing to love based off of getting to know someone. It's another to love before you get to know anything about them. That is the heart of a father for his children. God loves you, even though he knew you were going to get a lot of things right. And he loves you just as much, even though he knew you were going to get a lot of things wrong. The love of the Father is not conditional on anything. And tonight, getting into this next part of kingdom submission, we're going to learn what it really means to submit to the Lord. And we're going to go deeper in this. And some of you may be thinking, well, is this really going to like minister to me, husband, wives, children? These are principles in this passage that we're going to apply to every facet of life. This idea of beholding Jesus is beholding the love of God for his people. The Apostle Paul in this letter to the church of Colossae, remember, he has never visited the people of Colossae. He's never been to the church in Colossae, but he's writing this letter to the Colossians because there's all this cultural mixture going on in the city. And Paul's like, hey, if you want the answer to all of this cultural mixture, if you want the answer to solving the issue, the answer is behold the Lord. The Lord is the best model. Put on the new nature. He is the one that you should be modeling every facet of your life after. And as I was thinking about that more and more, I had this thought that perhaps evangelism, which in today's world means knock on doors, hand out tracts, and come up with good strategies to make sure everyone gets a flyer about Jesus. Perhaps evangelism was never supposed to be difficult. Perhaps it was never supposed to be a strategy. Perhaps the best evangelism is just people seeing Jesus in you. And when they say what's different about you, you get to evangelize. You get to say what's different about me is the Lord gave me this way. I respond to these situations because Jesus is my model. I respond to stress in a good way because Jesus is my model. He is the model for everything. And if we would get more caught up in him than ourselves, we wouldn't need to figure out how to evangelize. He would be seen throughout the ends of the earth. The last time I was with you, I ended in three verses, 15 through 17. It says this in Colossians 3:15, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. When we walk in the identity of Jesus, we live in peace, our lives are full, and all of our advice, all of our counsel, all of our teaching, all of our opinions behold Jesus to the world. It is almost like last time I was with you, I talked about drinking of the new wine that is Jesus. He says, and it says, in order to drink of the new wine, you have to put on the new wineskin, the new nature. In other words, you start to put on the nature of God, you start to actually crave him more and more. You want to drink of him. You don't want to drink of your sin. You don't want to drink of ways of the world. You want to drink of him. I put forth to you tonight that what if we drink of him so much that our lives will become a cup runneth over type of drink for everybody else. That his character and his ways actually pour out of us in just the natural. That people would start to hear the voice of God through your ideas. That people will start to hear the voice of God in how you manage people. That people will start to see the image of God in how you respond to situations. That your life will be a cup runneth over type of life. You see, the point of walking in our intended image of beholding Jesus, walking in his image, is nothing short and nothing less of making his image known. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting so tired of hearing people's opinions about what they think this should do and what they think life should be like. To be honest with you, I don't really care what you think. I care what he says, and my prayer for you is for your thoughts to get raptured up in him. Amen. So tonight, we're going to continue in this model of our intended image. And we're going to get to a place where we're going to talk about one word. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what that word is so it's on the tip of your mind. The word is hupotasso. Everyone say hupotasso. If you're taking notes, that's H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. Hupotasso. So keep that in there. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands, for they are always right. No, I'm just kidding. Wives, submit to your husbands. I just gave some of y'all great conversations for later. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Now, this scripture is used out of context a lot. I'm sure if you haven't heard, you're about to hear it from me. That recently there was big headlines about that the Southern Baptist Convention all voted that women couldn't be pastors over churches. And I thought to myself, well, what's new with the Southern Baptist Convention? And then there's all these different kind of conversations about women and roles and ministry and all this kind of thing. Well, tonight we're going to look at what the scripture actually says about women and roles in ministry. That women should always never talk when a man's around. That's another joke. All right, the Greek word for submit here is actually borrowed from a military term. And the term for submit simply means to be under rank. The word speaks of the way that an army is organized. For instance, you have different levels and ranks. You have generals, you have colonels, majors, captains, sergeants, privates, all different ranks. And they're all subject to honor other rankings. And in those ranks, it doesn't mean that a higher rank is necessarily smarter or more talented than the other. You can have sergeants that have a lot more wisdom than generals. You can have privates who are a lot more talented than colonels. It's not about the man. It's about the rank. It's not about what the person has. It's about the rank that they are placed in. Submission is not submitting to the person as much as it is submitting to the rank that the person has been placed in. I say that to say this. A wife does not submit to the man because he is a man. A wife submits to a man because the man, as a husband, is in a certain rank in the marriage. So the wife submits to the man not simply because he is a man, but because he is a man in rank. In other words, the scripture does not say wives submit to men. Or females submit to men. It says wives in the correct rank of your marriage submit to the one that is in a higher rank. Not because he is better than you. Not because you are not equal to him. I'm going to get really cheesy. All men are created equal. That is men and women. right? This scripture is not saying women are under men. It's saying that there are certain systems that God has put in place, and in the system of marriage, there is an honoring of the man being in a rank that is above the wife. Now, Galatians 3:28, to prove my point, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Gender does not specify your worth. Ranking here is not about a gender role. It is about how a healthy marriage is successful. It is about understanding that there are different ranks and different systems. I think we can all agree that there is an honor to the spiritual leader of a house. Not because I am better than you or more talented than you or even more wise than you. It's just because I have a certain rank in the house of God. Not that I'm above. It's just a rank. Right? There are ranks in your workplaces. You may have better ideas than your boss, but your boss employed you. And no matter how good your ideas are, they're never going to take you anywhere if you don't start to understand that no matter how good you are and how talented you are and how smarter you are still to be in rank to your boss and honor your boss even though you may be better. And honoring your boss at your workplace, I'm probably going to say this again later, but it's on the tip of my tongue right now. Honoring your boss in your workplace is not gossiping about their bad practices at lunchtime. And if you're gossiping about their practices at lunchtime, don't be surprised that you never move up the chain. Because if you want to move up the chain, there is a certain level of kingdom submission amongst all the ranks in the world. Is this making sense? The only way for me to be a good pastor is to understand that you may have to submit to me in a level of rank in the kingdom. But the only way I will be good at that is if I equally submit to you as the flock that I'm called to tend. It's not one's above the other. It's there's different rankings. There's different honors. And just as the woman or the bride submits to her husband because of the rank, so it is with the bride of Christ and the bridegroom Jesus. We don't get to outvote the Lord. We don't get to take honor or glory from the Lord. It's in the rank of the kingdom. Kingdom submission is when you view Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're either under his rank or you're not. You're either in submission to him or you're not. And the Lord desires and is jealous for every bit of our lives to be submitted to him as Lord, not as best friend. He acts as a friend and a comforter, but make no mistake, he is king before friend. And a good king has a friend-like quality, a master-like quality, a God-like quality. Jesus says, I am all those things, but never get it out of sorts. I am above you in the kingdom of God. So if he is above us, if he is the one that we are to submit to, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, and the life, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, how dare us live out of submission in parts of our life because we want to experience things that he never wanted us to experience. I talk about all the time the knowledge of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. The sin there is that the Lord says, I have created everything in the world. I've even created evil, but I never wanted you to taste of it or have any knowledge of it. When we tasted of that fruit, our eyes were open to something that he never wanted us to give attention to. It says very clearly in Scripture that all things were created by God, all things. All is all. So all the good stuff, all the bad stuff, he is the author of it all, but just because he made it doesn't mean he wants us to experience it. And sometimes the thing he made, we pervert. He made a ranking in marriage. But a lot of times, women have to operate in a rank they were never called to operate in because men don't know how to be men. And on the other side of that, sometimes men get too prideful about their rank and put their wives under their hand. But pay attention to the scripture. It says in verses 18 through 19, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. It also says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. In other words, you submit to your husband when your husband is in his appropriate submission. Meaning, the message is not wives submit to men even when they abuse you. You don't submit to abuse, right? What you submit to is a man who is under submission to the Lord. This doesn't mean you only submit when you agree. Because I can tell you, my wife and I disagree all the time. We have disagreements about how we want to steward our money. We have disagreements about maybe, you know, how certain things, how we want to raise our daughter. We're still talking through all that. We have disagreements. It doesn't mean that you only submit when you agree. It means that you submit according to rank. So this is what that means. My wife may disagree with what I say, but she does not move on what she wants until there is unity in the decision. And the decision comes from after we've talked. Eventually, at the end of the day, I have to make a decision. And in the rank of me being the head of the household, I'm either going to make a decision as far as it depends on me, or I'm going to make a decision as far as it depends on us being in submission to the King of Kings. And because I lead like that, there is no issues with submission in our marriage. Because she doesn't look at me as someone lording over her. She's looking at me as someone who is stewarding the privilege of my ranking. Is this making sense? I believe that that's the issue of the world. The world does not know how to submit to the rank of the church because the church has fallen out of rank. We preach a message of life's crappy, it's going to get worse, and Jesus, please come back. Or we preach a message of you better accept Jesus because you're going to hell, and we're preaching that to people who don't even believe in hell. The gospel of the kingdom that the Lord brought to the people is there is a love and there is a purpose for you that far exceeds what you have ever imagined or ever experienced, and it has always been accessible to you, but because your eyes are still not open, here I am and here it is. And he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, heal diseases, cast out demons, and the church has become the most weak thing in America. I was reading I was looking at how many Americans are actually Christians these days, and it's 68%. Now that's more than half, but it's a lot lower than what it was. And we look at that as a decline and saying, well, those are just signs of the end times. The end times have been forever. Because believe it or not, when sin started, we were in the end times. What is that? Why? Because there's going to be an end. And what church has done is, let's put all of our hope in an end. And the Lord's like, put all of your hope in me. And instead of preaching an end, preach a beginning. Preach heaven on earth. Bring the truth of God's counsel to thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring the truth of my counsel that you get to walk with me in the cool of the day. That because I have defeated death, hell, and the grave, because my blood has washed away your sin, because I keep no records of wrong, you don't have to wait to walk with me in the end. You get to walk with me in a beginning. That is the message that the church is supposed to be preaching, but instead it's, let's get discipled and let's know the scripture and let's argue over the scripture and have no power whatsoever. And I'm telling you, there is a day right now where the Lord is saying, church, get in rank. Church, you're supposed to be the lender, not the borrower. It's this is very transparent, and some of you may not like this, but this is how it is. It is so difficult that we had to borrow money to do this renovation. Because we're not supposed to be the borrowers. And I'm not trying to guilt you or anything, but Because y'all gave amazing. I love what John said, that there should be so much where we have to say, please stop giving. But isn't that where every church, when they're wanting, not every, but I would say 99% of them, when they want to build or do something, they have to have a building campaign. And you either raise it or you borrow. My dream is for Relentless to be a movement where borrowing becomes a foreign term. It is my goal, my dream, my heart for Relentless to be a place where when you come in disease, we're not borrowing time for prayer to pray the disease away, but we lend healing from the courts of heaven. Where am I at? Let me get back in this. There is a limit in submission. Submit to ones who are drunk on the new wine in Jesus, not drunk in any other wine. The scripture says, husband, love your wives. Never treat them harshly. That word love is the word agape, not a love that has to do anything with emotion, although there is an intimate love where you're supposed to love with emotion. But agape love is a self-denial for the sake of others. Sacrificial, giving. I've had a lot of self-denial this week. I love to sleep. That's become a foreign concept, especially for my wife. I love to sleep with the thermostat on 67. Our midwife said, you better put that thing on 78. I said, not in this house. But we settled at about 72. I wake up sweating in the night. But you know why I do it? Because there's an agape love for my daughter. Right? That is an agape love. There is a sacrificial self-denial and giving. It's just like with church. I'm not trying to guilt anyone that wasn't here, but I love that there are so many of you here in this place tonight on 4th of July. Because it's I would rather give the Lord my time and give him all of me and then come up with a reason as to why he doesn't get this particular day. And some people may get offended by that. But at the end of the day, what do we worship more, him or America? The presence of God or an event? We can claim that we're a movement all day long. But if we truly believe that we're seeking the face of God, if we're truly believing we're in the presence of God, what other thing is there better? No answers? Good. If we are the bride of Christ, know that the bridegroom is the ultimate example of this stewardship. Because this principle is not just to marriage. It is, whether you're married or not, this is a kingdom principle. Man, woman, single, married, widowed, divorced, is all about stewarding your privilege. What is your privilege? You carry the presence of God. He gave you the ability to love and serve. What are you doing with that privilege? The privilege to minister the gospel of the kingdom to others. Are you stewarding it well, or are you taking it for granted? If we are the bride, no, the bridegroom was the ultimate example of stewarding privilege. He had all the power, all the authority. He could do miracle upon miracle, and yet he served us, washed our feet, and died. And when he raises, he says, I want you to walk in that image. Wash the feet. Serve others. But unfortunately, the church has created serve as a team instead of serve as a lifestyle. Pastor Kyle, when are we going to start doing serve projects? When you start doing it without us having to assemble a project. We're not interested in impressing people with stats on how we serve. We want to build a family where serving is our natural, where we never have to say, hey, let's come up with something, because it's an organic flow from who we are. I've already had people give me ideas for our new campus. 9 minutes down the road, but it's 4 acres. Someone in this room, I've talked to them already. I'm not sure how fast we're going to do it, but there's a lot of trailer parks around there. There's a lot of low-income places around there. And the first thing we thought of, we got land. We don't have a building. Let's plant some vegetables. Amen. Let's get out some free groceries instead of come get lettuce for an offering. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that manipulative church stuff, like, oh, come get all this free stuff, just give an offering. Let the Lord lead you. What if we actually used the land, stewarded the privilege of having the land, and gave it away, and our food pantry actually grew from what we own? And this is what I'm talking about. These are things that the Lord wants us to become our natural practice of this is who we are, not what we're trying to put out there. Know that the Lord is perfect and he's good. And he's saying, I privileged my rank as king, or I stewarded the privilege of a rank of a king. Now I want you to steward the privilege of being ones who get to walk in my image. Wives, choose to place yourself in rank of intimate care of your husbands, but husbands, choose to place yourself in rank of intimate care with Jesus. And all of it is the same. Get in rank in submission to the kingdom of God. If we would just get in rank, if we would just position ourselves in submission, the Lord would do incredible things. The Greek word for submission, I mentioned it earlier. Let's see if you remember it. Anybody remember it? I heard a boo, 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 boo. The Greek word for submission, hupotasso. Everyone say hupotasso. Hupotasso. The root word hupo means under. The word tasso means to arrange. So hupotasso literally translates to arrange yourself under or subject yourself to something. So in the kingdom of God, God says, everyone, just like husbands and wives, I want you to hupotasso yourself. I want you to hupotasso or arrange your lives, subject your lives to the kingdom of God. He says, I want your marriages hupotassoed. I want your relationships hupotassoed. I want your recreation hupotassoed. I want your joy hupotassoed. I want your mannerism hupotassoed. And that's getting weird to say that. I want your church life hupotassoed. I want all of you hupotassoed. He says, I want every bit of your life in rank, in submission, and arranged in such a way where his model is you. His character is you. His way is you. And there's no outvoting that. Ephesians 5:21, it says, further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Hupotasso, arrange your life in such a way to be reverent to him in all your relationships. Are you in arrangement the way you talk to your friends when you get frustrated? Because what happens is out of frustrations, if a friend questions a relationship, I would say that you are not hupotassoed. Y'all don't like that. Arrange yourselves. When your friend, let's say that you feel like your friends are letting you down, serve them as if they are not. Talk about them positively. Pray for them. How do you manage every relationship in your life? Arrange yourself, hupotasso, under the kingdom of God and bless those. Pray for those, right? Is every part of you hupotasso? Look at James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It doesn't just say resist the devil and he will flee from you. Before you can appropriately resist him, you must be submitted to the Lord. Before you can effectively resist Satan, you must be hupotassoed. You must be in an arrangement of the Lord your God outranks your wants and desires. The Lord your God outranks your naturals. The Lord your God outranks the strategies of 2026 church. The Lord your God is the one who wants
everything subject to him. And it says, hupotas, or the God, resists the devil. I put forth to you that kingdom submission, hupotasso, invites a protection and a covering. Not that you are not protected by the Lord, but that the devil flees because he sees an arrangement that he knows he can't win a fight with. When your life is arranged appropriately, the devil won't try anymore. And when he does try, he's going to try less and less and less because you are arranged in such a way where his strategies keep failing. And you want to know what I've noticed? When the devil's strategies start failing with you, he'll go after the ones that can affect you. And when he goes after those to get to you, you'll find out how hupotassoed you are. Is this too much? Happy 4th of July. Fireworks. Let me say it like this. When you're in rank, when you're submitted to the Lord, when you are hupotassoed, resisting the devil convinces you of what you're resisting. Because you're resisting him not out of your strength, but out of your alignment. When trials come at you because you're arranged in such a way, the trial does not move you. It's like the disciples in the boat. What is the model of Jesus? He wasn't moved by the waves. I think one of the most powerful messages in that illustration when Jesus is asleep in the boat and he's in the storm is that I don't think Jesus ever intended of waking up. Because the storm did not dictate his rest. He wasn't waiting for the storm to get over to rest. He was resting. Want to know why? Because he was hupotasso to the Father. And in the Father there is rest. In the Father there is peace. So translate to 2026. Everything is coming against you. Everything is going wrong. Everything is taking more and more from you. If you are moved by that, it's time to get rearranged. If you're moved by that and it shakes your very foundation, I put forth to you, it is time to rearrange yourself and get hupotassoed under the Lord. I will submit all of me to the kingdom. And when you are rearranged in such a way, trials come and they're going to hurt. But you steward the privilege of having authority over the trial instead of responding to the trial as if it had authority over you. Because even the trial has to submit to a rank. And he's given you keys to the kingdom. He's given you the power and authority in the name of Jesus. So the trial looks at you as, are you in rank or out? I don't care. I can honestly say I have gone through some crazy trials this past few years. And there's some of them where I have been in rank, and there's been times where I realized I wasn't. But as soon as I rearranged, the trial got a lot more smaller from my soaring on wings like eagle's view. Hupotasso. Look at this next verse, verse 20. Is this good?
Yeah.
All right. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Why does it please the Lord? Because they're in rank. They're hupotassoed, right? Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Now, take note, this is not talking about kids in general. This is talking about children in the home of the mother and the father. It's not children always obey your parents or pleases the Lord, and when I talk about hupotasso, well, they're in submission. When they're out of your house, they're no longer in rank to you as far as you are their authority. But they are always to honor you because of your rank despite lack of authority. In other words, let's say you have a child and they're out of the house. There will always be an honoring of you because of your rank as their mother and father. But their actions do not reflect on your ability or inability to be their parents in that moment. Because they are no longer under your authority. They're out of your house. But there is to be an honor of them to you for your rank, and an honor of you to them for their rank. Look at verse 21. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Why? The environment that you create will directly affect those under you and their submission. He says, do not provoke your children. Meaning, don't be too harsh, don't be demanding, don't be too controlling, don't be unforgiving, don't be angry, because this provoking leads to an environment that welcomes children to get out of hupotasso. This principle is a principle for life. Do not create an environment in your homes, in your workplaces, or in your church where it makes it easy for people to get out of rank. How is it easy for people to get out of rank? Overbearing leaders. People love to rebel to overbearing leaders. Good leadership tries to raise up and give and empower. No one likes to be micromanaged. I found that out in my first 7 years of leading a church. It was funny because when Relentless started, we would be setting up church at the YMCA. And I knew in theory it was good to have everyone serve. But this is what the reality was. People will come on Saturdays and spend sometimes 2.5 to 3 hours setting up church. I'd come on Sunday morning at 6 and fix everything that looked bad. And you know what the funny thing was? It didn't really look bad. It was I had a certain way I wanted things. I wanted the papers to be straight. I wanted the signs to be in a particular place. I wanted the chairs. I'm still with that about chairs. I want everything to be in a certain place. And instead of giving people the authority to make some decisions, or anybody in here want to say amen that knows this about me? I would come behind them and start doing stuff. And now, there's a difference. First of all, there's a difference between micromanagement and casting vision. Let me talk about rank. You don't get to dictate the vision of this house. Well, Pastor Kyle, I just don't think we should. That's not your call. That's a call of the Lord putting on the pastor and the elders. That's how vision does not come from bottom up. Ideas get in line with the vision that came from top down, starting with the Lord. Okay? But what happens is we start to create these environments in our life where it makes it difficult for people to be in submission. Friends don't want to submit to friends who only take and never give. Right? Parents don't want to submit in being mild-tempered to kids when the kids are not being in rank themselves. Right? This is a principle for all of life. Hupotasso yourself in such a way where it is easy for those around you to be in rank. When the relationship is children to parents under the obligation to obey, not children who are living outside the home. Why? Children are in rank. Now, what does that mean? Some kids are smarter than their parents. That doesn't mean they're out of rank. That doesn't mean they get to skip a level and outrank you. They will always be in rank. You will always have a higher rank. It is like that in the kingdom of God. I don't think Moses had all the answers. He had to go to his father-in-law who didn't even believe in the Lord to get the right answers. But you know who still had the authority of the people? Moses. He wasn't the smartest, wasn't the wisest. The Lord said to strike the rock one time, and instead of listening to God the second time, he took it in his own hands. Still didn't shift the fact that he was the one in rank leading the people. King David. He was a great king. He sought the Lord. People died on his behalf that never should have died. He slept with women he should have never slept with. David did a lot of things that he never should have done, but he was still in rank as a king. And I think it would do us good to become like Jesus in serving others and washing the feet of those who we don't think are worthy of our hands. Because no matter what rank you're in, we're still called to honor each other in a hupotasso, submission to Christ type of way. Is this making sense? Now let me go to this next part. Slaves, verse 22, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Now, what's sad about this is, I don't know if you know this, but this passage of Scripture, many have actually used to justify slavery. It's ridiculous, right? Can I get an amen to that? That's ridiculous. Slaves to master, I want to put this in current day terms, and then I'm going to get back to slaves to master. It's like employees or supervisors. Obey your supervisors. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Whatever, work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord. Your new nature in Christ will cause you to get hupotassoed in your workplace. It's not, does my boss deserve my honor? It's, I don't have to think about deserving when it comes to honoring. I think that statement alone would do us all well. It's not, do they deserve my honor? It's, do they get my honor from me being hupotassoed? Do they get my love because of my submission in rank to the kingdom? I steward the privilege of giving a love they may not know, of an honor they've never experienced. You are not in rank in gossip. You are not in rank when you go behind people's backs and speak negativity over them and curses over them. Well, I hope one day they just... Why are you privileging your authority in curses instead of blessings? Amen. Hupotasso. Every part of my life is in submission to Christ, and I steward that. I've been taking this very seriously the past 6 days with my daughter. Every day I say basically the same prayer over her, and before I tell you the prayer, I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm not just her father to be a father. I am a father in rank to steward the privilege of a daughter. So I pray the same thing every day. In the name of Jesus, Eliana, you're beautiful. You're smart. You walk with the Lord. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Mom and Dad loves you. And I kid you not, every time I pray this, and there's a lot more things, she smiles every time I say Jesus loves you. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of what society says is normal. I don't want my daughter to have to one day accept Jesus. I want her to live a life where she never knew what it was like to walk outside of him. Let that be the standard. The same thing for us. We are called to be spiritual fathers and mothers to spiritual sons and daughters. When was the last time you took effort to pray over someone else, speaking blessings over them when they don't know? Not just when they're doing you wrong and you want to do the kingdom thing. But having that one person or those two people on your heart where every day you're not only hupotassoed in your family, but you're hupotassoed with the body of Christ. You are in rank to steward your ability to pray for the body of Christ. When was the last time you prayed for a church other than Relentless? When was the last time you prayed for Relentless? Submission in our rank as kingdom ambassadors. Now I'm going to skip the 4 verse 1. I'm going to come back in a minute. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Even those over others have a place of hupotasso. Because no matter how high in rank you are above someone, you will always be underranked to him. This isn't about one over the other. This is about a kingdom submission that translates into every relationship. Now look at verses 24 through 25. I'm getting ready to close. I hope this has been helpful tonight. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you're serving is Christ. But if you do what's wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you've done. God has no favorites. Why is it so good that there's a promise of an inheritance in this passage? In this context of masters and slaves, slaves could never inherit property. And there was one person in the family unit in this day that had all privilege and all authority. And that was the man, the husband, the father, the master. So you got to look at this text as a whole. It's about the rank of one who has an authority as a husband, as a father, and as a master. 3 different relationships, same rank as above. And he's saying, this person in rank, you get to steward all this. You get to steward relationship with your wife so she loves to be married to you. You get to steward your relationship to your kids so they love to honor you. And you get to steward your relationship with your slaves so they actually love to serve you. And this passage, he's saying, remember the Lord, after he says all this to the master, he says, slaves, serve them. He says, the Lord will give you an inheritance. So you know what God just did? Honor people as I tell you to, and I'll give you things that no man had authority to give you. I will put blessings on your life that no man could ever grant you. He says, you honor all of your spheres of influence, all your relationships, everything in life. If you hupotasso, arrange your life in submission to me, I will give you an inheritance that's far beyond what this world can give you. You know what that inheritance is? It's the kingdom of God. It's love, it's peace, it's strength, it's authority. He says, I'm going to give you that, not just when you enter the sweet by and by, but I'm going to give you that right now. He says, you arrange yourselves under me, I'm going to let you have Lazarus moments. You arrange yourselves under me, and I will speak to paralyzed legs. You hupotasso yourself under me, and I will allow you to speak into cancer. But the problem is, we have a lot of people shouting at disease who are not arranged. We have a lot of people praying that, you know, this was so funny this week. I saw this pastor, I don't agree with anything he says, but it was funny. He said, all you charismatics, y'all talk about binding the devil every week. Could you please leave him bound? Because think about it. Like in Pentecostal churches and charismatic worlds, people say, we bind the devil. Well, if you're binding him, then why is he still loose? Exactly. Right? Why do we have all of these empty... Can someone shout at me if y'all know what I'm talking about? Why do we have all these empty phrases that are ineffective? Because we're saying authoritative things out of rank. We're not arranged. Well, how do we become a movement or a house of God where people come in and they get healed without ever having to have an altar call? I'm tired of altar calls. I want the presence of God to be so thick in a place when someone walks into the room. That is the altar call. Because they answer the call to be in the house of God. How do we get there? Every single one of us get arranged. We're going to get new shirts. Hubotasso. Some of y'all just look at me like, I ain't wearing that. But that's the problem. We're not wearing it. We're not getting arranged. Our lives are not in submission. Can you imagine what would happen if we did? We get to partake of the kingdom. Jesus didn't come to preach the gospel of Jesus. He said, I've come to bring the gospel of the kingdom. There is a gospel of Jesus and a gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of Jesus is believe in him and get saved. And it's a good gospel, but it's not the only one. He says, I've come to you bring a gospel about heaven on earth, about being partakers with me, about being in union with me. But church, you've treated me as distant even though you say I'm with you, because you're not arranged. You're not submitted. Are you in rank? There's no partiality, it says. It says if you do what's wrong, you're going to get paid back for the wrong you do. God has no favorites. Just because you're a pastor don't mean you get a, you know, get out of jail free card. You're not better than the congregants. The congregants aren't better than the pastor. Everyone is held to the same degree. This is not about someone being better than the other. This is not about someone having a better place than someone else. This is about you all have a rank. Husbands, you have a rank in your family, but you are not to lord over your wife. You are to lead her in such a way where she delights in submission because of how you are submitted. Parents, you are not to lord over your children. You are to lead them into a kingdom environment. Bosses, managers, you're to lead well. People of God, you are to be so submitted to him that your life is ministry. Not ministry in the idea of I'm going to go teach or I'm going to go preach, but your life ministers just of how you live. Are we hupotasso? Church, are we hupotasso in such a way where we are creating an environment for face-to-face encounter? I love what Peavy said last week when he closed out the service. That where we're going is face-to-face. But we're going to keep being in the we're going there if we don't get arranged for it. I want to challenge you tonight. When we come in here for worship, are you coming in here wondering what the band is going to play? Are you coming in here wondering what Kyle's going to teach? Are you coming in here seeking a face-to-face encounter with others with the Lord? When you come in, and I'm about to say, I'm not rebuking any of this. I want to challenge us. Are we coming in with only the perspective of, I can't wait to see this person, I want to hug their necks? Or when you come in at 5:45 or 5:50, are we getting face-to-face with the Lord and praying for the gathering and praying, Lord, you're going to do incredible things? You see those empty seats and you don't look around and say, ah, I wish more people were here. You actually walk around before 6 o'clock and you look at this empty seat and you start praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for the person that is going to come sit here one day. I'm praying for their soul. I'm praying for their heart. I'm praying for their mind. Are you actually coming in stewarding your rank as a child or son, a son or daughter of the living God? When you hear that we're opening up for baptisms July 25th, are you wondering how many will get baptized, or are you praying into the ones who will? Are you praying that the Holy Spirit would start moving on behalf? I believe I've been really feeling this week. Really more than this week, but I maybe more so feeling the need to release this. The church in general has become all about having the best discipleship programs and the best lights and the best environments to produce a service so that people will come to know God. I believe what the Lord is bringing Relentless into is I don't want you to produce anything but authenticity. Because discipleship can no longer be defined as great Bible study programs. Discipleship must be defined as a people who are hupotassoed. How would you find discipleship, Kyle? Worship. Giving. Submission. Fellowship. What about Bible studies? What about doctrine? I am more interested in a life consumed in Christ where the Bible studies are a product of our hupotasso. And just because I know it will happen, I want you to hear me. I am in no way making this Bible any less authoritative than it is. I am not saying it's not important to read the scripture. What I am saying is the disciples were discipled without this. Because they were discipled by an image. We get to see that image. What if instead of getting in a Bible study in order to be discipled, our lifestyle was discipleship, where Bible study is simply I want to be in here because I'm getting consumed in his image. I'm not studying the Bible to get arranged. I'm arranging myself, and in my arrangement, I want to get in that. Well, I mean, you're supposed to read the Bible to understand the Lord. Tell that to people in third world countries who never got a piece of paper. Tell that to the Lord who wrote, I revealed myself in nature itself. This is so important. It's such a great tool. But this is a tool, and it is not God. What is breathed on this page is the Lord. But we must not idolize this as the only way. The only way is Jesus. And he gives us this as an accountability to understand who he is. I don't know why I'm on this right now. We get so consumed in, I want a good program of Bible study. Instead of just gathering together in the discipleship of fellowship and saying, let's dig together. I'm not saying we shouldn't have Bible studies. I love Bible study. We have house churches. We have sermon discussions. I love studying the Bible. But what I'm saying is this should be the fruit. Because let's be honest. How many of us came to Jesus understanding all this? And if you think about it, he says to the letters in Revelation, I forget which church it was, but he says, you understand all this, but you've forgotten your first love. This is no good if we don't love him. And if you are not arranged in submission to him, you might say you love him, but you don't. You love the idea of him. Studying scripture should be an outflow of our love for the Lord, not a means to get in love with him. I think that might be the best way to say it. Yeah. It is not a means to fall in love with the Lord. It is a fruit from our love for the Lord. Amen. I can't tell if I'm seeing confusion or agreement. If I'm seeing agreement, can y'all just give me a shake your head? Okay, everyone, and they're awesome. So if you're watching online and you don't agree, everyone else does. I'm going to read one more scripture, and I'm going to close tonight. On this 4th of July, let us be reminded of this in Galatians 5:13. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. You know what that is? Hupotasso. Submission to Christ. Lord, I want to read your word because I'm submitted to you. Not I want to read your word so that I can get submitted. Get submitted, get in the word. Get submitted, get in fellowship. Get submitted, join with other believers in worship. get submitted and worship. There are arrangement issues in your life if you come to church listening to songs instead of singing the songs. Well, Kyle, I don't like singing. You don't have a choice in the matter. The scripture is very clear about come to the Lord singing songs with thankful hearts. He get in submission to that. A fellow pastor friend of mine in the area, when I met him a few years ago, he said that he don't sing in church because singing is not his thing. I looked at him one time and said, "You're right, it's not your thing. It's his thing. And he deserves your praise." He said, "Nope." About a year later, had a conversation, ministered to his wife. He got healed, or she got healed. And you know what he did the next church service?
Yes.
Sang. Because it was no longer I sing because I have to. It was I sing in response to the one that I love. Yeah. Everything we do. Out of a hupotasso, submission to Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand together. I'm going to go ahead and just pray us out tonight. Oh, Lord, thank you for this word. Lord, thank you so much for a word about something that seems so obvious, yet something we throw away so much, and that is being in submission to you. Lord, I pray that as we leave here tonight, the one thing that keeps on the top of everyone's minds, the thing that we remember when we walk out of here is, I need to get arranged in rank. That you are the ranking official in our lives. Jesus, you call the shots. Not programs, not churches, not the government, not friendships, not relationships, Lord. You call the shots. And Lord, I pray that as we arrange our lives in such a way, that arrangement will flow into the programs we're involved with, the Bible studies we're involved with, the relationships we're in. Lord, I pray for a hupotasso right now over people in this room and people connected to people in this room. Matter of fact, before I say this, I want everyone to get on the tip of their mind a family member that you want to get in arrangement with the Lord. A family member, a friend, whoever it is. And if you would, just whisper it out loud if you can. I'm just going to talk really loud while you whisper it so no one hears. Just whisper the name. Whisper the name. Whisper the name. And right now, Jesus, I pray that all of these names that were whispered, I pray for you, Holy Spirit, to make them aware of this hupotasso need in their life, and that the relationships that shouldn't be there, they're going to walk out of them. The agreements they're in, they're going to walk out of the agreements because they are getting arranged. We are getting arranged. Someone say, get arranged. Lord, we commit to you that we are getting arranged in submission to you. The church being the lender, not the borrower, Lord, in Jesus' name, we lend that knowledge to those who don't know. Thank you, Lord, that you make it so easy to submit to one who loved us first. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray, everybody said. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great 4th of July.